Would you kindly take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14? John chapter 14. We're in the midst of a series which I've called Living for the Master. This is the seventh in the series. This is part two of being empowered by the Master. 2 weeks ago, we began to look into God's Word, John chapter 14, 15 through 18, at the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples on the night just before he went to the cross. You know, there are times in our life when you and I are really, really in need of help. Does that mention you tonight? Sure mentions me. We're in need of help. We have tests. We have temptations. We have trials. And if we're not careful, we might think we need to take care of these things on our own, but you and I cannot do it. Also, we understand, and we're going to look at it clearly tonight, that God desires for his children to be witnesses for him and the world. And I don't know about you, but witnessing is something which most of us find a hard time doing. I remember being with Billy Graham in Amsterdam back in 1984. We had a large convention. And Mr. Graham said, "I can preach before thousands of people, but my knees shake when I go out to see somebody that I've never met and I share Jesus Christ with them." He shared that because that afternoon we in the convocation, we had to go out into the city of Amsterdam and talk to people that we'd never met, never seen, and share Jesus Christ with them. So it kind of helped all of the people to realize that Mr. Graham was in the same boat as they were. And so we know that God wants us to minister for him, but perhaps we feel incapable of sharing a witness. Maybe we're unprepared and we want to know, "Lord, can you even use me to be a witness for you?" What do you think the answer would be? Yes. Yes. So tonight we're going to look a little further into John chapter 14 and some other passages of Scripture. This is not a verse-by-verse study. This is a thematic study where we take a subject and then we go to God's Word and we share those spiritual truths which speak to the theme which we're talking about. And so tonight we're talking about being empowered by the Master, and we're taking it a step further than where we were last week. So we're looking at John chapter 14, and I'm beginning to read from verse 19. Jesus is speaking. "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." He's speaking of his resurrection. "On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." 2 weeks ago, we mentioned that there were many people who claimed to be disciples of Jesus, but they really weren't. And you could tell the ones who weren't because they were not following after Jesus. They were not obeying the things which he said. Those who obey the Lord are the ones who love him and know him, as the disciples were that night, aside from Judas, of course. Look at verse 25, please. "All this I have spoken while still with you." But now notice, "the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Father God, we come to your word now, and we want to treat it carefully. It is your word.
We humbly invite the Spirit of whom we are speaking to just minister to each of our hearts and our minds tonight. May we be open to what he would say to us and allow him to lead in our lives. And we will be careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. For this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. For a few moments, I'd like to refresh our minds what we studied 2 weeks ago, because it's so very important as we continue to look on at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But first, can you imagine what it would be like to be a child of God without the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? I don't even want to go there. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is your power source, my power source. Apart from him, we cannot do anything of a spiritual way. It takes the Spirit of God working in us and through us to accomplish what God wants done. 2 weeks ago, we saw that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father and from the Son. He resides in everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Non-believers cannot receive the Holy Spirit. They do not believe in Christ. And from the day of Pentecost on, the Holy Spirit doesn't just abide with us, but he lives inside of us, never to leave. Have you ever loved someone and something went wrong and they left you? They walked away from you? They broke friendship with you? We probably have all had experiences like that. Aren't you thankful tonight that even though you and I falter in our life with Christ, the Holy Spirit never leaves us? I am so thankful for that. He is utterly faithful, as is the Father and the Son. And because he never leaves us, we are not defenseless. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 8, I will not leave you as an orphan. An orphan is defenseless. We're not orphans. We're children of Almighty God. And the Holy Spirit continues to give us the very personal ministry of our Savior, even as he, Jesus, ministered to his disciples when he was on the earth. We get that from verse 16 of John 14, where Jesus said, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. That word another is very important to us. It means of the same kind, of the same quality. And the word counselor means one called alongside to help. You and I are powerless in this walk, but because the Holy Spirit is in us and comes alongside of us at our point of need, you and I will be able to do what Christ asks us to do. Hallelujah. As counselor or advocate, depending upon which translation you have, the Holy Spirit comes alongside the believer in Christ to give them several very important things. He comes to give us encouragement. Anybody need encouragement tonight? I sure do. We need encouragement tonight. He comes along to give us strength, wisdom, endurance, protection, and he equips us for the ministry that God has called us to do. Some people say, well, is the Holy Spirit all I need? Yes, he is. In 1 John 4:4, the apostle says, You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, meaning the world, because the one who is in you, who is the Holy Spirit, is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world. We further learn something that is of great encouragement to us. We learn from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit is the seal and pledge given to us by God the Father as proof that we belong to him. If you've ever known somebody who was badly mistreated as a child, maybe by their parents, they're very reluctant to trust themselves to someone because they're wondering if they're going to do the same thing to them. God, our Heavenly Father, Christ, our Savior, never pledges anything to us that he is not going to do for us, and he always does for our good. Keep your hand in John chapter 14, but turn to Ephesians 1 once again. Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. I want you to see this pledge. I want you to see this seal, this deposit that the Holy Spirit is to us as the children of God. This is absolutely important. It's important to us for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that when you and I fail, Satan often comes to us and says, see, you failed the Lord. He doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't live in you anymore. He's not going to help you anymore. Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And when he speaks his native language. He is a liar. Our God speaks the truth. Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. In him, in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, notice this next word, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit never stops working in your life and mine. He brings us to the Lord when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. These truths, him being a seal, him being a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance with the Father, forms the foundation of something that is tremendously important to us, our security in Christ. Our security in Christ. You know, I've dealt with many people through 45 years of ministry. Many of them did not feel secure in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was my privilege to take them to the Word of God and to let them know that when God calls you to himself, he never gives up on you, never gives up on them. He's always working in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And when he saves us for how long?
Forever.
Another word, eternity. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, let me read it for you, 15 through 17, the Apostle Paul says this, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. That's personal. Abba, the diminutive of that word is Papa. I remember when my mom and dad separated after 37 years of marriage, I was absolutely devastated. I was close to both of my parents, loved them dearly, and I'd always been close to my dad. And now my dad was gone. He was far away in another state. And I got up one morning to have my quiet time with Jesus, and I remember lying on the couch where I prayed, and I wondered if I would dare call him my dear heavenly Papa, taken from this Abba Father. And I remember as I laid there on that couch, I prayed, my dear heavenly Papa, I come to you because I need you, and I need your love to so wrap yourself around me that I know everything is going to be all right. And in his mercy, he let me know that it would. Paul goes on to say, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share in his glory. I want you to think with me. Have you realized recently that God has literally made his home in you? He has literally made his home in you forever through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to understand something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. And the reason we know that he is a person is because he possesses attributes of personality. Attributes of personality such as intellect. The Holy Spirit searches out the deep truths of God the Father. He has emotions. Ephesians 4:30 tells us that the Holy Spirit can be grieved by the sin of believers. He has a will. He leads us according to God's will. So we are dealing with a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit living in us, the believers in Christ, reminds us of God as he dealt with the children of Israel back in the Old Testament. First, he dwelt among them in the tabernacle and then the temple. But those two things pointed forward to when the Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost and indwell every true child of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10 says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it by his Spirit." So we have this wonderful helper, this one who comes alongside of us to minister to our needs. Dear family, I'm going to have several questions for you tonight. My first one is this. As we hear about the person and ministry of God the Holy Spirit, do we see, do we realize afresh just how much God loves us? Do we realize how he desires us to be one with him? As we consider the person and ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We could have sung that song tonight. I asked my sweetheart, she knows what I'm going to preach, and I oftentimes go over my message with her, and then she picks out the first couple of songs for us to sing on Sunday night. We could have sung the song, "No, Never Alone." No, never alone. He promises never to leave me. What? Never to leave me alone. Hallelujah. Now, we understand that it is absolutely beyond our full comprehension, and I'm underlining the words full comprehension, what our Heavenly Father and Christ our Savior has done for us as he adopts us into his family, as he seals us with his Spirit, but it's true. But there's more for us. He saves us for a purpose. He saves us for the purpose of worshiping him, of serving him. And he saves us that we might be his witnesses in a Christ-rejecting world. But for this to happen, we first must be empowered by him and taught by him. Now, would you go back to John chapter 14 for a moment, please? And I want to read once again verses 25 and 26. John 14, 25 and 26. This is another wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, the people of God. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will what? Teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." When Jesus is with the disciples, they could listen to his teaching and ask him questions. But with him being gone, the Holy Spirit assumed that role. That's why he said, "I will send unto you another helper, one of the same kind. He will remind you of me." For the rest of their lives, these apostles depended upon the Holy Spirit for spiritual instruction. And as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the Gospels, the Spirit would remind them of all the things which Jesus said and did. But as we look into the first century, we see that there was trouble. There were false teachers that had wormed their way within the people of God, and they were teaching what we know is false teaching. You see, they were promoting immoral living, and they promoted immoral living because they denied the inspiration of the Word of God, the Word of God that the disciples were giving to the people under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus, being who he is, being jealous for his people, and never forget that, the Lord Jesus is jealous for us, his children, with a perfect jealousy. There's nothing unseemly about it. It's a jealousy that says, "I love you, I want the best for you, and I'm going to do everything in my power to protect you and help you." He has that kind of perfect jealousy. He wanted the family of God to be assured that what they were hearing and reading was indeed His word, the word sent from God. How? Through the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Later on, 2 Peter, towards the end of the first century, he says this in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And that's what these false teachers were giving. They were giving a private interpretation which did away with the Word of God. Peter goes on to say, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved, as they were carried along by the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit energized the apostles so that as He worked inside of them, they were able to write and hand down to us the very mind, the very heart of God. There are no other sacred writings on the face of the earth. This is it. God's Word is it. It's the only sacred writings handed down from God Himself to us. Do not doubt it. Do not minimize it. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. Well, these same disciples had failed to understand many things about the Lord Jesus when He was with them. But because of this supernatural teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, they were now giving the inerrant, accurate understanding of their Lord and His work. And they have passed it on to us. What you have is the Word of God. Aren't you glad? It is the Word of God. And so now, all these many years later, the Holy Spirit desires to teach us the truth of God's Word. He doesn't teach us anything new, although it might seem new to us because we didn't understand it. But He opens our minds, He illumines our minds to understand clearly who He is, what He's done, and what He wants to do in our lives. But you know, there's several attitudes that must be in the child of God's life if we can be correctly taught. It's the same, actually, as you go through school. If a student does not want to learn, a student will not learn. A Christian, if they are to be taught by the Holy Spirit, needs to be humble before Him and spiritually hungry for the Word. You see, humility before the Lord and hunger for His Word go together. Secondly, we show our spiritual humility and hunger by not only listening to what the Holy Spirit says, but by following His leading in our lives. This gives evidence, not only to us, but to others, that the ministry of His teaching is really paying off in our lives, and we are growing in His grace. The Holy Spirit is ready to do for us and in us, but we must be willing to be taught by Him. And I have a second question for us tonight. Dear family, are you and I willing to be taught by the Holy Spirit? Do we have an attitude of humility before Him that He can and will teach us? Do we have a hunger to hear what He has to say? In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Apostle Paul said to his son in the faith, Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the work of truth. The watchword is the word diligent. Diligence. Diligence requires time and effort, and God wants us to spend time alone with Him. If we do, and we're humble before Him, we're a candidate to be taught by the Spirit of God. Well, there's so much more. I need to kind of find a place here where I can continue on without going over. But you know, God wants us as His witnesses to handle His Word correctly. We must handle His Word correctly. Therefore, to handle it correctly, we must be taught it correctly. And this is the ministry the Holy Spirit desires to do in each of our lives. He wants to teach us the Word of God. But then secondly, Are you and I taking the time to be alone with Him? Are we humble before Him? I remember my mother asking me years ago as I was growing up, she says, have you studied for your test? And I'd say, well, and she says, Raj, if you haven't studied for your test, how can I pray for you? God can't give you what you haven't put in your mind. My mom was so clear. She was so right on. That's true. I needed to take time to be alone with my studies. We need to take time to be alone with the Lord, and when we are, He will teach us. In thinking of this, as I was going into God's Word, I couldn't help but think of a wonderful example from the Old Testament. Remember, Hannah prayed for a child, for a son, and God gave her a son. His name was Samuel. And she told the Lord that if you will give me a son, I will lend him to you all the days of his life. And after he was weaned, and back then a mother would nurse her child to 3 or 4 years of age, believe it or not. She took Samuel to Eli, the high priest. Now, Eli was not a man who was humble before the Lord. At that time in his life, he could not be taught by God because he wasn't listening to God. So God had another plan. That plan was the child Samuel. Samuel had never heard the voice of the Lord before. So when a voice was calling out to him, he thought it was Eli. And so when he went to Eli several times, Eli perceived God is speaking to him, and he said this to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Do we understand that? This is a little boy. "Speak, for your servant hears." The Word of God says that a little child shall lead them. Dear people, a little child not only leads, a little child can also teach us. And so tonight, as you and I come before the Lord, when we're quiet, when we're alone with Him, when we humble ourselves before Him, may those words be on our lips and in our heart. "Speak, for your servant hears." And when we are in that position before the Lord, He will teach us. Yes, this matter of being God's witnesses in the world is set in motion as we're taught by the Holy Spirit, as we're empowered by Him. You see, the Lord was looking for faithful witnesses in the first century because He knew He was going away. And He wanted men and women that could share with others the truth of who He was, what He taught, and what He had done. And so He gave the Holy Spirit that through the Holy Spirit, they might be His witnesses. Now lastly, would you turn to John 15, verses 26 through 27. Sometimes people say, well, God desires that I be a witness for Him. My friend, it's more than a desire. It's a command. John 15, 26 and 27. "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about you, about me, and you also must testify." That's a command. "For you have been with me from the beginning." Now, what do witnesses do when they are called upon a witness stand? They are called to give a testimony to what they have seen and heard. And this is exactly what the first believers in Christ Jesus were. They were eyewitnesses to the life of their Lord. They heard Him teach. They saw Him do miracles. They were eyewitnesses of His resurrection. This is the kind of testimony that stands up in a court of law. And now, as the Lord has returned to His Father in heaven, and the day of Pentecost has come, And the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in the lives of God's people. These apostles are now taught by the Holy Spirit, and they give out firsthand testimony of who Jesus Christ is. And through their testimony and the testimony of other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the world was turned upside down. But see, so oftentimes we leave that testimony there. We don't realize that God indeed wants to do His ministry through us today. We shy away from it. We say, I'm not worthy. None of us is worthy. We say, Lord, I can't do it. Yes, we can. Through the powerful, personal ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We cannot hide behind the excuse that we are too weak for the Spirit to use because He's our strength. We cannot hide behind the excuse that we don't know what to say because the Holy Spirit will give us what to say. We don't even know who we should share with. The Holy Spirit will lead us. Some years ago, I was awakened, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning, and we didn't have, you know, call identification at that time, so I thought it might be family, so I picked up the phone. I says, hello. At the other end was a young man, and he proceeded to cuss me out down one side and the other. He just swore horribly. After his tirade, he said, well, what do you think of that, huh? What do you think of that? Before words got out of my mouth, I said, my friend, did you know that God loves you? He goes, what? And he slammed the phone down. I didn't know what I was going to say, but the Holy Spirit who lived inside of me wanted that man to have a witness. And so by His grace, by His power, He gave me words that I hadn't even thought of, let alone speak. And I did it in a kind voice. My friend, did you know that God loves you? It was awesome. I went to bed thinking, well, how wonderful God is. Even when we don't know what's going to happen, He is there for us. My friend, do we see at every point of our daily living and witness? The Holy Spirit has the answer for our need. You may have a family member or a friend that you're praying for, and you would like to be a witness to them, but let's be honest, you're scared. I've been there. We have a family member now that I know I can only go so far. If I step over the bounds, I'm going to blow up the bomb. And so we have to be very sensitive to His leading. But we cannot let that feeling of that other person keep us from being the witness that God wants us to be. The part we need to do is to be sensitive to His leading, to bring them to Him, and to make ourselves open that we want and are willing to be a witness for Him. Lord, will You please speak through us what You want them to know? And I thank You for Your grace to me. But lastly, there are some negative spiritual attitudes that we need to guard against if we want to be useful in God's hands. There are many, but I'm just going to say 3. The first one is indifference to God's will for our lives. In other words, who's on the throne of our life? Are we trying to run our lives, or are we allowing the Lord to be in charge? The second one is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin robs us of spiritual power. The psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. I don't know how many times the Holy Spirit has reminded me of that verse. Raj, you've got some things you need to clear up with me. Let's get them straight. Let's do it now. Thirdly, a lack of concern for those who are spiritually lost. That's probably one of the biggest things with the church in America. We seem to lack fire for seeing people come to faith in Christ. In John 4:35, the Lord Jesus said this to His disciples after the woman at the well left. He said, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Ripe for harvest. I wonder who there might be in our sphere of influence who is ripe for harvest if we're willing to be a witness and speak up for Jesus. Well, how thankful I am for the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. He reminds us of Jesus. He teaches us the Word. He is our personal, powerful helper, touching us at our deepest point of need. I like what Corrie ten Boom used to say. Man's sin goes deep, but God's love goes deeper still. He touches us at the deepest point of our need. Dear brother and sister in Christ, we dare not try to live the Christian life in our own strength. We can't do it. But we do have a helper. He is the Holy Spirit. He's there for us. He wants us to depend on Him. You see, He's always, always there for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the Holy Spirit whom You have given to us. And Lord, I cannot speak for anybody else tonight. I know what You're working with in my life, and I know they know what You're working on them in their life. Whatever it is, Heavenly Father, may we be humble before You. May we be willing to hear from You. And may we allow You to teach us for Your honor and glory, for the spiritual welfare of others. And this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.